with the fadl, with the blessings and the karam and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq to a person to do good deeds, and that person comes towards the path of deen, the practice of deen, and good deeds are implemented by that person, then shaitan and nafs, the base desires, start to do their work in opposition. And different types of whispers and thoughts are injected into the person's mind, which pester that person, bug that person mentally with regards to the deen and Islam. And thoughts and whispers of shaitan and nafs, this is such a weapon or a tool that shaitan utilizes, that good people who are upright people, they get pestered, they get annoyed and targeted by shaitan and nafs. And then that person, due to the thoughts and whispering, he slowly starts to distance himself from deen. And if he doesn't get far from deen, then at least he gets weak. And if he doesn't get weak, then minimum he will be confused. And it's obvious this situation wasn't before. And then the condition of that person changes. And there's a dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which a person, an individual, seeks refuge. He says, Allah, I seek refuge, protection from you. That the way I was before, good, Allah make me like that. And so that I can learn from the test and the trial of life of the dunya. This is a famous dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his condition, his situation, due to thoughts and whispers, a person gets in a bad position. And this is common amongst ourselves, you can say. What is this? When a negative thought comes into a person's mind, bad thoughts and feelings, that, oh, I've come onto the deen, the path of deen, I do the work of deen, I pray salah, I do good actions. So why are these bad things happening to my life? Why am I not in a positive situation? Why have I got problems? Why am I getting ill and sick? And why not others? Why are my worldly aspirations and ambitions on hold and frozen? Why am I on a day-to-day basis struggling, etc.? Person starts to think like this. And shaitan, he turns that person's focus and attention and direction. And then he turns that person who was practicing deen towards other people who don't believe in Allah, or say who don't practice deen, or who aren't maybe upright people. And he sees that these people are maybe progressed. Wherever they put their hand, it turns to gold. Whatever they put their hand on, it turns to gold. And they look happy outwardly. They look happy and content and at peace. And he looks at himself inwardly and thinks, what's the issue here? And then other people he looks towards, who he puts on a high pedestal, they look at him and smirk at him and laugh at him or snigger at him. Look, what is this person doing? And the person, then he starts to cry on his position. Just like, for example, there are two people in parallel. One's got a shop, the other person's got a shop. One is in a bad state, the business ain't functioning, running. The other one, he's got customers and profit and revenue. Or there are two people, taxi drivers, and one person's taxi is running around all the time, picking up customers, dropping off, pick up, drop off, making money like a money machine. The other person's struggling. And he says, the amount I pray and pray salah and do du'as, don't know what's happening. I'm not progressing. And this is a dangerous thought. These thoughts either take a person far away, slowly, slowly. If he doesn't go far from deen, at least he'll get weak. These thoughts will make him weak. Then why is this happening? And if he doesn't get weak, then at least he'll become confused. What shall I do? Okay, let's leave the deen. Let's become like those who don't practice deen, and we'll be happy in the world and get everything we want. These are the negative thoughts. So, Hazrat Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi mentions a significant event with regards to this. He was a great sheikh. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent two angels on their duty. You know, the angels come to the world on their duty to monitor. Just like now, the angels will be coming here. Their duty will be to attend this gathering. In the same way, the angels that come, they have their function and duty. They don't look left and right. Every angel has a function, a duty, a mission. And the mission they're given, that is what they do. They work according to the mission and they don't deviate from that. So the angel that came on his duty, what was his duty that Allah Ta'ala set for him? Allah Ta'ala gave him an assignment. Now go to this place, there's a pious person there, he's my servant, a good man, and he is close to death, he will die soon. And what I want you to do, angel, is that he will have a desire just before he dies, because he doesn't know, nobody knows that they're about to die. What do we know, me, you, that we're going to pass away? So he'll have a desire soon before his death that he wants to consume honey. A person has a desire, randomly. He will want to consume honey, and he'll have a bottle of honey or a jar of honey close to him, and he'll try to put his hand towards the honey, and he doesn't know he's going to die soon. So what you have to do, angel, is that soon as his hand goes towards the jar of honey, you let that jar of honey drop and break so that he can't consume that honey. So the angel did that. And the angel said, he was thinking that this man, he is pure and clean, upright. He used to pray tahajjud, he used to go dhikr in the morning. And mashallah, his appearance was a good person, a good human being, good character. So what's this? Why? And then he was just quiet. So he was going on his duty. The other angel, he was coming back from the earth, going back to the heavens, leaving his duty, finishing his assignment, just like they cross paths, just like we cross paths. And the angel said, where are you going? He said, oh, I've just finished my duty. What was your duty? And he told his event. He said, what have you just done? He said, I've just come back from a job, but that job's in reverse to what you've done. He said, how? He said that I was sent to a certain man, another man, and he was a waste, that man, bone idle, useless, wasting his time, no link with deen. He said, is it? He said, yeah, I was sent to him. And Allah Ta'ala said to me that he will have a desire. He's about to die. And he'll have a desire that I want to eat fish on that day. And he will have no fish in his fridge or freezer, but he's made a pond like in the, you know, people have in their courtyard or in their gardens, or they want to have a bathe and swim just to enjoy themselves. He will have made that pool. So Allah Ta'ala said to the angel, he won't get a fish from anywhere else. So put a fish into his pond, into his pool, so he can fulfill his desire. So the angel said, I just came back from doing that. He said, what's this? Both of them were confused. Now Allah Ta'ala has given us a unique duty today. So they travel back to Allah Ta'ala's presence, and they're to submit their reports. They said, Allah, we've just done what you've told us to do. What was it here? What's the game here, Allah? This one, Sufi Sahab, the first man, pious man, about to die, and he was devoid, made devoid of the honey. Allah Ta'ala said, this is my secret. Azizul Hakim. Allah Ta'ala said, I am Azizul Hakim. The person who reads Quran, doesn't read Quran, rather he understands, rather he doesn't understand, he practices. He will never be confused on this verse, because Allah Ta'ala says, he knows my qualities, attributes. He is swimming or immersed in every word of the ocean of my Quran, where I say Azizun Hakim. Allah says, they read this, they understand this all night long, that Allah is Aziz and Hakim. I say, definitely, if we pay attention, these two words are enough for us to bring about Iman. Two words, Aziz and Hakim. Well, Allah Ta'ala utilizes these words in his verse. Read those verses or that verse. And see how Allah connects to his servants with these two words. I swear by Allah, a beautiful emotion will overcome that person. Quran is a great kitab. Ramadan is coming, brothers. Attach yourself to Quran, okay? Love the Quran, especially the Hafidin. The Hafidin. So, brothers, Allah Ta'ala said that this is a secret. This is my secret. Azizun Hakim, the first person, Sufi Sahab, practicing, who strove to do good, and he was practicing, and he wanted to eat honey, and he couldn't get that jar. And the reason was that Allah Ta'ala said, I had already increased his rank, elevated his rank for the Akhirah. You saw him crying that he couldn't get the honey. Now let me show you. Just look towards him now. Where is he going now? After death, where's he reached? And he saw the angel, Allahu Akbar. In Jannah, he was living in such palaces and luxuries and mansions. Forget a jar of honey. His jar of honey he could not attain in the world, but he had rivers of honey flowing. My brothers, if you don't get here what you want in the world, no problem, but Allah will definitely give there. Don't wilt. Don't shudder. Don't be worried. Don't leave deen for the sake of dunya. Don't sacrifice deen for dunya. This is nafs, base desires. Based us. Give priority to those things that we can't see. That we can't see now, but we've heard. And we've heard from who? Sadiq and Masduq, the upright, honest Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose statements were haq, truth. Every word of his, every statement was haq, the truth. The Quran is Sadiq, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us Quran and his lifestyle. Why do we sacrifice deen practice for little desires of the world? These are tests, trials, challenges Allah Ta'ala puts us through in the world. Let's say, look at his palace, the angel, his jaw dropped, you could say, if I use a similitude. He didn't know what else he's going to get further on, what he was going to get, what he was going to get for his life in the dunya. He wanted honey, isn't it? Just in the world before he died, Allah said, all his desires fulfilled. And the other man, Allah Ta'ala said, he, the second man who was given the fish, Allah said, I wanted to give him the worst adab, punishment. And for this reason, we need to understand this point. Why? Allah Ta'ala said that I didn't give him any pain or difficulty in the world. No problems. He was never ill. He never sneezed. Why? I didn't want, Allah Ta'ala said, that I give him less than of azab in the hereafter. Allah said, I'm Rahim. I'm merciful. I'm Rahman. I'm Rahim, I'm gracious, merciful. Allah Ta'ala said, so I didn't want any rahmah to go near to him in the world. And he used to put his hand out, his second shop would open. Whatever he touched would turn to gold. Third asset would come. I made him enjoy the world so much. And people who used to come to him, he used to laugh at them, snigger at them. What were these people, lowly people who aren't close to me? And in my level, he used to sit one leg crossed on the other. And they'd have all enjoyment and eat and drink and be merry. But he wouldn't have the tawfiq to do the good. And then when he had the desire, what did he have the desire for? And when the problem came, this was the sabak Allah Ta'ala gave, the lesson. That this person, don't look towards such a person, rather have khawf and do istighfar. That those people play with their wealth and money. They get a lot in the world. Outwardly looks like they're happy, but they're free from deen. Then look at his condition, and we should have fear that that person, he's living the path of sin, and we think that he's enjoying life in the world, luxury, comfort, glitter, glow. But how many days will that enjoyment be? This is sugar-coated enjoyment. You understand sugar-coated? When a tablet or medicine inside is bitter, they're sugar-coated. So while it's in your mouth, it feels nice and sweet, but when the bitter taste comes, then we realize how bad it is. So see, this person who's got the sugar-coated enjoyment, he will forget everything one day. The day will come, he'll forget his houses, assets, money, wealth, cash. And a person who leaves a salah, one salah, he will realize one day the adab, the punishment. And all his fussiness will go, oh, I'm feeling sleepy, I'm tired, I couldn't get up, I was tired, I couldn't get off my mattress. All of this deception and excuses will disappear within seconds. That the money machine, the money making machine, he never thought insignificant. But Allah's deen, he thought insignificant. He made big excuses to leave Allah Ta'ala's deen. And he made big excuses. Just a few days were left, Allah Ta'ala said. Just a few days. Do you remember the Fajr you prayed today early in this morning? What did Imam Sahib recite today in the morning? The person recited who led and the people who read, they don't remember who prayed. But the angel in the morning, he is our witness. He has gone to the heavens and said, Allah, this man prayed Fajr. And after Fajr, he did dhikr, he stood up, he did dua, he did dhikr. This has become history recorded in the kitab of the deeds. So Musnad permanent, is permanent. And the person who's foolish, those who are foolish and stay in the bed under the quilt, tossing and turning. Oh, I can't get up, I'm tired, I have to go to work. What kind of situation is this? Allah Ta'ala says, so we left the deen for which hukum, for which order? Who gave the order for salah? Who orders us to pray salah? Who orders us to fast? Qadir and Mutalak. Allah Ta'ala, the owner of the universe, the controller. So if Allah Ta'ala has given us everything, but despite this we don't practice and Allah gives us everything in the world, then consider that this person is in the worst of adab, punishment. We have to avoid the company of such a person because the adab is there. We should do dua for such a person that Allah give him hidayah, guidance, but he's disobeying Allah. So the friendship has to be questioned in that situation. Rather, what I've said is that if a person who comes to the deen after that, then shaitan confuses him. First, either he makes him distant from the deen or weakens that person or confuses that person. And when such a situation comes, then we need to seek protection from Allah. Allah, you Azizun Hakim. And what is the hikmah in this? The hikmah is this, that these difficulties that are given and all the problems that are happening, this is due to a reason. Allah Ta'ala says that everything is there that comes from me and nothing of yours should remain. Allah says no breath of this person should remain that I give him reward in this world. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, I want to give him maybe sometimes difficulty in the world, but I want to send him straight into paradise as soon as he passes away. I don't want to give him luxury or comfort that decreases his reward in the Akhirah, and I don't want to give him adab in the Akhirah, so I'll give him reward straight away. And the person who's got the luxury in the world, Allah says, I don't want to give him any decrease in luxury, so he gets adab straight away after dying. Look at Fir'aun. Was there anything lacking in his life? And Fir'aun didn't even sneeze in the life. He never had any difficulty. Why? Because Allah said, I did not want to decrease his adab in the Akhirah. Didn't want to compensate for his adab and punishment in the Akhirah. So we need to think about this. Don't be fragile. We shouldn't be fragile. A person on the deen, practicing the right path, shouldn't be fragile. He sneezes, has a few problems, he starts to complain and cry. Have istiqamah. Allah, we are yours, that's it. Thumma istiqam. Become steadfast. Allah, we believed in you, we accept you, we know you. Whichever hal you keep us in, you keep us in illness or in a bad situation, whichever hal you keep us in, we are with you, we will not leave you, Allah. We will not leave you. Allah Ta'ala prefers this, that a person does shukr. Allah Ta'ala gives ill health, He gives good health, He gives wealth, He gives poverty. That's it. If Allah has given us the path, given us deen, we've got understanding of deen, the good path, the good practice, good deeds, good character. So why do we leave that then after that? Is this a changeable deen? Is this flexible? Is this a path that we can come off when we want? Never, never. Understand, this track Allah Ta'ala has given to us, and we should drive the car fast on this track. Drive it fast with speed towards success permanently on this track. Don't come left, right. Don't take the exit. Never have a bad thought. Never have bad thoughts or doubts. Oh, due to deen, I've got less income, no rizq. I can't, if I leave prayer, then I will be successful. I'm leaving my shop to go to salah and my customers are decreasing. No, no, don't think like this. Concentrate on Allah. Focus on Allah, what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. So when bad thoughts come, doubts come, consider, understand, these are test trials. If dunya is not coming, no problem. Allah wants to keep me hungry, no problem. What difference does it make? Well, Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give, don't give. But I won't leave his salah. I won't leave his ahkamat, his orders. The thing that Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave, refrain, we'll refrain from. There is taste, temporary taste. But we won't take the taste, the shade from the unlawful things. So that brother, sister, brother who have understood these foundational points, and understood and practiced, they are successful. And they've passed the test. They've passed through the phases successful. Inshallah, we need to save ourselves from the thoughts, negative whispers of shaitan, doubts. They come into all of people's minds. They come any age. They can come at any age. Don't think it'll just come in old age. They can come just before death. You know, he had the desire for honey. He was about to die. So what we realize, until the last breath, the last straw, shaitan tries to attack. He attacks. Shaitan once came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Shaitan. He's clever, isn't he? Shaitan. And you know, the Nabi, he had a great maqam, direct. He used to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So Shaitan, salam alayhi salam, yes, and you are pious and you are doing the work. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Shaitan. He said, is it? Shaitan? What have you come to do? Why have you come to me? He said, you are the Nabi. He said, yeah, I'm the Nabi. He said, what kind of prophet are you? You can't even make the tawbah be accepted for me, my repentance. He's trying to play games. And he was the Nabi. He came to the world to do tabligh and to teach people. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam thought, okay, fine. He wants to do tawbah. Let me request Allah to give him tawbah. If he really does want a chance. He thought, yeah, that's good. If he does tawbah, then life will become easy. It'll be easy for people to practice in the dunya if shaitan does tawbah. So Allah said, so Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, Iblis has come to me. He's made a request that he wants tawbah. That can I ask you for his tawbah? So Allah Ta'ala said, yes, you've been sent for this, Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, can you focus, pay attention to this and give him tawbah? Allah Ta'ala didn't want to deny his Nabi, his request. Allah said, okay, Musa, you spoke correctly. Fine, I'll give him tawbah. I've kept a method for his tawbah. As Musa alayhi salam said, what is that method, Allah? And Allah said, tell him to go to the grave of Adam alayhi salam and do sajda there, prostrate there. So Musa alayhi salam said, your tawbah is accepted, repentance. Shaitan said, how? And Musa alayhi salam said, go to the grave and do sajda there. And Shaitan said, that's the argument from day one. Wouldn't I have done such that day when I was ordered? Why should I do tawbah? I don't need this tawbah. This is shaitan. He's trying to play games with the Nabi, the Prophet. So brothers, the situation we have to understand, that in any factor of deen, the right way of life, nothing is small, no sin is small. Thoughts, whispers, obstacles, restrictions, and shop and business and assets and illness and bad health, these all try to put a person away from the deen. And Rasulullah has taught us and given us assistance and encouragement. When bad times come, difficulties come, then we need to ask for afiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afiyah. What a great dua. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Allah, give me afiyah in this world and the hereafter. Allah, give me afiyah and goodness so I can pass through this world and reach to the hereafter in good way. So the pious readers have taught us, the pious person who's got difficulties, what afiyah does he ask for? What goodness does he ask for? Subhanallah, beautiful point. What afiyah is he asking for? That Allah, that every law of yours I accept, everything of yours in the deen I accept with happiness. Allah asks for goodness, that allow me to pass my life with goodness and sustenance and steadfastness. What a great dua. That Allah allow me to pass smoothly through this world. Allah, I'm not saying that don't give me ill health or bad times or difficulty. Alhamdulillah, I am pleased with whatever you give me, Allah. But I just want the afiyat, that let me pass through all the phases of life, difficulties, problems, worries, issues, so I can reach the hereafter in a good way. So may Allah give us all the tawfiq. Ramadan is coming, mashaAllah. This is the last gathering before Ramadan. So we need to pay attention, do dua to Allah special. That Allah, don't put us into such a fitna or trial of the dunya that detracts us from the deen, makes us weak from the deen. Whatever we are broken down, make us pure, Allah, and accept us in your court and call us to you in the hereafter and save us from your adab. Ameen.